We're looking at this series of sermons called Napkin Theology, Pictures for the Journey. And the whole idea of it is just that I think there's pictures that can help us understand where words become too verbose, pictures can condense. And so this morning we're thinking of what does a Christian life look like? And I just want to read to you from 1 John chapter 2. If you want to follow along, you're welcome to do that in your Bibles. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that if we have come to know him, if we obey his commands, the one who says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in them. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Father God, this morning as we think about what it is to walk this Christian journey, we just pray that you would help us as we think through that in images. Father God, I pray that you would guide our thinking. Guide us as we reflect this morning. And Father, may your Spirit speak to us. For we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking in these sermons over these next few weeks about how would you picture something if you were sitting in a coffee shop and you just had a napkin on the table beside you? What kind of picture would you draw that would explain what you're talking about? They say if you can kind of summarize it down to one sentence, you probably understand it. I think if you can draw it in a simple picture, you probably understand it quite well. And I just kind of wonder this morning, if you were sitting in a coffee shop with me or with someone else and someone asked you, what do you think the Christian life is? Like, how would you draw that? What picture would come to mind? And I think there's a couple that might come to mind. If you've had any training in evangelism, there's this picture of the bridge to life. And it's a very simple picture. It talks about how we're made to have a relationship with God. And then something happened in that relationship. Sin entered in. We decided we'd rather do our own thing than do God's thing. We'd rather listen to ourselves than listen to God. We'd rather choose our own way than choose God's way. And it created this chasm that came between us and God. And God made us for life on the one side, but we're living in death on the other side. And we need to try and figure out a way. How do we get back to God? And we try all kinds of things. We try being good. We try going to church. We try reading the Bible. We try praying. And all of those things are good, but they don't get us across the chasm. And then, as it said in our passage this morning, God sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross, to pay a penalty that we can't pay. And the Christian life is that walking in faith across the bridge that the cross makes between us and God. Accepting Jesus Christ, offer of forgiveness, him coming into our life, making us alive. And I think that's a crucial image to be able to know and to share. But the challenge with it is what happens when you get across to the other side? The image kind of stops at that point. I mean, is there a park bench over on that side? What is it? And that's why we need other pictures. So for some people, when they get across that thing, life becomes a dot. It's, I mean, no one puts it in these terms, but really life is just, you become a Christian and then you just get on with the busyness of life and the Christianity becomes one more thing in your life. You don't really think about it again. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm a Christian. It doesn't make any difference, but it's an identity. And I would call that a dot. Other people say, well, no, that's not right. I think more that it's a line. I think the Christian life is a journey. It's a walking with God. It's a continuation, if you want, of that line on the other side of the bridge. The purpose is to try and get closer to God, who's somewhere at the end of that line. You know, so we go to church and we read the Bible and we pray and we do those things because it draws us closer to God. There's truth in that. Other people would move that line a little bit, and they would say, well, life is a line, but it's an upward line. We really quickly realize that when we become Christians, all our sins don't disappear. We bring all of our past with us into our Christian life. And we know that God forgives sin, but we all have sins in our life, right? And the question comes, well, what are we to do with that? And the Bible says, well, we need to deal with our sin. We need to get closer to God, and that's a sign of holiness, and holiness is always drawn with an upward line. He's calling us to progress. If you belong to certain denominations, there's actually a dotted line there which says you can become perfect in this life. I'm not one of those part of that denomination, because I've never quite figured out the perfection in this life part. I think we continue to get better, maybe, but I'm not have any hope of becoming perfect. But this whole idea that life is a line that takes us up to God, and that sense of holiness. And then what I want to say this morning is, I think there's truth in all of those, but the one I would like to say is that life is a wave. And the picture I use is a picture of a wave on a beach. So that's the beach, and that's the wave. And it's very simple stuff here, guys. Very simple stuff. Waves have ups and downs. And I don't know about your Christian life, but my Christian life has ups and downs. There's times when I feel very close to God. There's times where I feel I'm way away from God. I've been doing this professionally for 30-some years. I've been a Christian for a lot longer than that. And there's still times where I struggle. There's still times where I feel that I'm not living this out the way I should. And there's other times where it feels like this is so easy, this is so good. And I just find that to be a picture of people in the Bible. You know, there's Abraham who does all these wonderful things, but he also sleeps with his maidservant and has a son he's not supposed to have. And there's Jacob, who's a grandson of Abraham, and everything is good except, you know, he treats his brother out of his stuff, and he tricks his father-in-law, and his whole life is dysfunctional. And there's David, who's a man after God's heart, which may be at the top of the wave, but he's also the guy that has an affair with Bathsheba. And in another part of John, in John 1, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then this sentence, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. And so this morning, I just want to unpack that simple diagram. I'm going to add one more piece to it. So if you want a quick summary of what I'm going to say, it's really simple. I think the Christian life is like a big dog playing in the waves when the tide comes in. Makes perfect sense, right? Hardly need to unpack that, but why don't we just take a go at it? The first thing that I think is true of us as Christians, if you have crossed that line of asking Jesus Christ into your life, or maybe you're here this morning and you haven't crossed that line yet, and one of the things that holds you back is, you know, I've seen Christians and they're not that good, and I'm not sure I want to become like them. Well, here's the truth of why we're the way we are, and that is that we're on this wave thing, that there's these ups and downs, that as John says, we're never going to get beyond the fact that we're sinners. And we're never going to get to be perfect until we get to heaven. There will be times of growth, and there will be times where we struggle. And that is the reality for everybody who's a Christian. In Ephesians, it says, and I put it in your notes there, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Now, that's a pretty compact and dense thing. But I think what he's saying there is that we used to follow three things, and we still do because they affect us today. And the first is that we live in a world that's fallen. We live in a world where sin has affected the whole world. It's not just affected our relationship with God, it's affected the whole world. The whole world is shaped by sin in some way, Our culture is shaped by that. There's all kinds of temptations that are in our culture. There's all kinds of stuff that's there. And because we live in this world, part of the ups and downs is we are affected by the world around us. The second thing we're affected by in the world, the flesh and the devil, is just our own flesh, which isn't a word we use much, but it's a biblical word, so we're going to stick with it. But it's basically the fact that we're human beings, the fact that we're emotional people. And the fact that we have emotions says that one day we feel better, and the next day maybe we don't feel as good. Now, some of you are highly emotional. You have a lot of range in there. Some of us are fairly flat. We don't have much range in there. But all of us have those emotions that are within us. And some days, because of our emotional makeup, we're just more vulnerable than other days to not going the direction that God wants us to go. We have our past experiences with all the scars and addictions that are there. We have patterns of behavior that affect our relationship with God. Counselors will tell you, you know, never make decisions when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, right? Halt before you make a decision. And I think it's the same in sin. When do we tend to sin the most? When we don't feel good. When we're hungry, when we're angry, when we're lonely, when we're tired. Those are the times where sin seems to enter in, because sin comes in and Satan kind of tempts us a little bit by saying, I can make you feel better. It's temptation to sin. It's temptation not to do the good thing we know we should do. It's temptation to do the good but not the best. It's all kinds of temptations of the flesh. And then finally, the devil comes in and he makes us his project to try and get us as separate as possible from God. And again, it's not always temptation to sin. Sometimes just temptation to sit still when we should do something good. Sometimes it's temptation to do this, which is good, but it's not the best, which God wants us to do. And I think these three things together create the waves of our emotional life that cause us to have challenges in being the people we want to be. So what am I saying at the end of that point? I think I'm saying that if you have ups and downs in your life, welcome to the Christian life. That's normal. It's part of how we're made. It's how life's going to be. It's what the normal Christian life is. And it's why John talks about confession. It's why John talks about if we claim to not have sin, we're lying to ourselves. Because he wants us to realize the condition that we live in. Now, that would be pretty bleak if I left it there. So I have a second point. And the second point is the tide is coming in. The wave is actually going up. And I've told you the story before, but for today I need to repeat it. When we lived at the coast, I love to play on the beach. My favorite thing is a sandy beach. I just love Spanish Banks in Vancouver. I love being on a place where there's a beach and there's some waves. And what I love is a place like in Vancouver, there's 16 feet of tide, and on Spanish Banks, you know, there's very, very gradual slope. And so the tide goes out like a mile almost. And what I love to do when we're little kids, and now I got a grandson so I can do it with him, is I love to build sandcastles because I can't just sit on the beach and do nothing. I'm not really good at that. But I love to build a sandcastle. What you do, for some reason in Vancouver, the tide always, high tide is always in the evening in the summer. The tides move every day, but they will adjust so that high tide is always in the evening. And that means if you go there in the afternoon, the tide's going to be coming in earlier or later, but it's always coming in. And if you build your sandcastle kind of in the intertidal zone, that means at some point the tide's going to come in. And I would love to build a castle just above where the tide is, and then the tide would come in and a wave would come and wash it. And the whole thing was I wanted to watch the tide destroy the castle. That's about as exciting as my life gets. And the whole deal with the kids was they couldn't destroy the castle. The tide had to do it. We had to just wait and watch it happen. And I think there's a lot about that in the Christian life. In Hebrews, it says this: we have much to say, But it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you still need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word. You need milk, not solid food, and anyone who lives on milk is still an infant and is not acquainted with teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And I think the tide is this wonderful image of the Christian life because there are ups and downs in life in the waves, but in the Christian life, the tide is always supposed to be coming in. So if you sit on the beach and you make a castle, what that does is it gives you an anchoring point for something. And a wave will wash up and kind of wash against it, and then the next six or seven waves don't, but then the next wave comes and washes a little harder against it, and then the next two or three don't, but then another one does, and then the next ones don't, and then the next one does. But after about half an hour, that castle is underwater, and those waves are a little bit higher up the beach. And I think what that means for the Christian life is that although life is a wave and we have ups and downs, there should be a trend line to those waves. That though there's ups and downs, we should be able to look back over a period of time and say, have I seen any growth? Have I seen me move from immaturity to maturity, from infant to adult, from whatever image you want that's in that passage from Hebrews? If you've been a Christian for 20 years, do you see growth? Do you see growth in the area of your knowledge? Do you know more about God? Do you understand the story better that we're in? And there's a verse there from 2 Corinthians that talks about being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. The question about holiness, about sin, are we seeing progress in the sins that we're dealing with? Romans says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God of those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. And what Paul's saying in Romans is we need to be moving towards holiness. That line does need to be moving up. Here's another picture of it. I picture that as a farmer going out into a field, and I use this illustration all the time too, and I realize that. But a farmer goes out in a field, and the first thing he has to do is he has to get the big boulders and move them out of the way so he can plow. And once he gets the big boulders out of the way, well, then you notice the big rocks. And so you get the big rocks and you pull them out of the way so that you can plow. And once you get the big rocks out of the way, then you notice the big stones. What's interesting is when you see the big boulders in the field, you don't see the stones right away. But once the big boulders and the big rocks are gone, the stones are there. And when the stones are gone, you know, you're going to see the pebbles. But you're making progress through the field. And I just think when God talks about holiness, the question comes, not, you know, are we still struggling with sin, but are there some big sins that we don't struggle with as much anymore? Are we seeing progress? Have we cleared out some of those boulders? Now, the thing about living in, you know, in Alberta here is what can happen is a farmer comes out in the field in the spring and all of a sudden there's a boulder that was never there before. The frost has basically heaved it up from under the ground where it was hidden. And that happens in the Christian life too. Sometimes, you know, there's this thing and it just seems, wow, where did that come from? I thought I dealt with that kind of stuff. And it just comes back and we need to deal with it. It's part of the wave. Sometimes there's a rogue wave that's in that wave. But we're progressing our way towards God. In our knowledge, in our holiness, and thirdly, in our giftedness, you know, are we more useful to God? God has given us each a gift or two or three, an ability, a way to serve, a way to help. You know, it can be something like ushering, which we need. It can be something like running the clothing exchange like we did yesterday. It can be something like teaching our kids upstairs or our youth out there or whatever it is. You know, we need lots of different people that can do lots of stuff. And the question is, are we growing in our ability to make a difference for God in the world? Is the tide coming in our knowledge and our holiness and our giftedness? As Peter says, each of us should use whatever gift we have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And the final point of this thing is, And that's probably my definition of the Christian life. I think the last part is just helpful. And it's what I call the big dog syndrome. When Don and I got married, I was going to seminary. She was working, paying for me to go to seminary. And she worked at a psychiatric hospital in Vancouver. And then I started working there as well for a bit. And we were both working in with the social workers in occupational therapy. And I was working with this particular social worker who had a son who'd got this dog, and the dog was demon-possessed. And the son had said he would look after it, and he didn't. And he'd said that he would train the dog, and he didn't. And the dog was destroying their house. And her husband was an architect, and they had a beautiful house. And she loved the house more than she loved the dog. And so she said, I got to get rid of this dog. And I said, oh, I'll take the dog. I've had a dog before. I've had a couple of dogs before, and they were all well-behaved, and I can fix this one. Learn in life, you can't fix much. But anyway, we got the dog, and it destroyed everything we valued as well. But the point of that story is, one day I looked at the dog after about a year, and it was a shepherd husky cross. So it had the length and the height of a shepherd, but the breadth of a husky. And I thought, oh, that dog looks big. And I grabbed it and picked it up, and I stood on the scale with it, and it weighed 95 pounds more in my arms than I weighed when I was just on the scale. And it would have weighed 100 if it had a brain, but it didn't. So, but 95 was big enough. And then I realized, you know, when I got that dog, it was only like half the size. It was a puppy still when I got it. And now it had grown up to be this brute of a dog. And I'd never noticed. To me, it was exactly the same dog that I had got, that I had now, until I suddenly saw it through fresh eyes and I realized, man, that dog has grown. And the challenge was, because I saw that dog every day, I never noticed the incremental growth until I had some way of just kind of anchoring, yeah, it's changed. And I think that's the challenge with many of us in the Christian life, is we don't notice our own growth. You know, many of us look at ourselves and we say, man, you know, I've been a Christian for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 60 years, and I don't think I'm any better a person than I was back then. And I wonder if that's really true. I wonder if we could really anchor ourselves back in where we were 20 years ago, whether we wouldn't see that the tide has actually come in, whether we wouldn't see that we have grown in our knowledge, that we've grown in our holiness, that we've grown in our giftedness. I think that was Timothy's problem. Paul saw Timothy as someone that could pastor the churches. Timothy saw himself as someone who wasn't very far along. And Paul had to write to Timothy and say, don't let anyone look down on you because you were young. And I think he's saying that of himself as well. Set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, love, faith, and purity. And don't neglect your gift which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. And Timothy just saw himself as young and inexperienced. He didn't think anything had happened in his life. And Paul said, you know, I see a huge difference. I see the big dog has grown. I see the tide coming in. And I think the challenge of the waves and the tide is that we tend to focus on the waves and we tend to see the ups and downs that are still in our lives. But we fail to see where the tide has taken us. You know, it's sort of like going golfing sometimes. You know, you go golfing, you hit a perfect shot, you know, and you say, I could master this game with a few lessons and a bit more time. And then the next six shots, you lose five balls on. And you go, I know I can master this game with just a little more time. But we begin to say, well, which is us? Is it the guy that can make the good shot or the person that does the other shots? And which is us? Is it the one at the top of the wave or the one at the bottom of the wave? I just think sometimes the waves get in the way of seeing what God is doing in our lives. Now, I think the challenge with that is that we need to be growing. We can also just say, well, you know, life is just a wave, and I'm never going to get any better, so I don't even have to work at it. But I think if we put ourselves to it, if we really try to be the people God wants us to be, what I think God does is He begins to work a work in us. And there's still the ups and downs, but the tide is coming in. And though we don't see the change, others can see the change. And once in a while, we just need to have some measuring post. That's why sometimes keeping a journal for years and years and years is helpful, because you can go back and you can kind of find that point of reference to say, oh yeah, I used to be here. I used to worry about all these things. Now I don't worry about that kind of stuff anymore. Oh yeah, I used to do all this kind of stuff. Man, I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. Oh yeah, I never did anything like this, but now I do this kind of stuff and it's good. We just need some way of anchoring and measuring. It's what my sandcastle always did for me, was I could see when the tide was coming in, because the beach just looks like the beach. But if you got a sandcastle, you see when the waves hit it. And if you've got some anchoring point in your life, you can see when God is making a difference and where He's taking you. Well, if I were to draw you a picture of what I think the Christian life is, that's pretty well what I'd say. I'd say God is calling us into a relationship with Him, that we cross through this bridge, that through Jesus Christ we come into relationship with Him. And then with Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit, we continue to walk with Him. And though there's ups and downs in our lives, God through His Spirit is making us into the image of Jesus Christ. And God understands that the world, the flesh, and the devil all conspire against our growth. And He understands the fact that we fail. That's why He said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because He knows that there's going to be dips in the waves. What I think God is trying to do is take some of the amplitude out of the waves. What He's trying to do is flatten those waves out so that we don't fall back as far. The waves start to flatten out a bit. They'll never disappear, but they're not Hawaiian surf. They're waves on a beach. And we can celebrate with God the difference that He's making in our lives. And so this morning as we close out, I don't know kind of where you're at, but I'm hopeful this morning that you've crossed that bridge, that you've made that decision to become a Christian, realizing that you're not going to become instantly perfect, and realizing that you're joining a group of other people that aren't perfect either. We're all wrestling through the waves of our lives. That's why we need to cut each other some slack at times. But the question I would ask for you this morning is, has your Christian life flatlined? Are you seeing that the tide is coming in? Or have we just kind of said, well, yeah, you know, the Christian life, that's important, but I got other things I need to be doing. And are we pouring all our time and energy into other things? Because if we are, we've got to be doing part of the work for the tide to come in. And we've got to be letting God do some of the work to let the tide come in. But the question this morning is, are you able to accept yourself for the ups and downs in life? But are you willing to commit yourself to moving forward with God so that the tide can come in? And every once in a while, just having that big dog moment where you look back and say, yeah, things are different. It does make a difference that I have this walk with God, that I am seeing this. Or maybe just admitting, you know, I've been on a pretty flat line for the last little while. Maybe God's given me a little wake-up call. I need to get back to some of the basic disciplines, the disciplines of reading and reflection and responding. You know, 5 minutes of reading, 5 minutes of just meditation, 5 minutes of praying back to God. Maybe I need to get back involved in figuring out a place to serve. Maybe I need to get recommitted to being regular in worship. Maybe I need to get back to being part of a small group. Maybe I need to, whatever it is. There are things that we can do that can aid that process. But this morning, God is just reminding us of how much He loves us, how much He wants to walk with us, and what a difference He can make in our lives, and what a difference He has made in most of our lives already. And this morning, just giving us permission to know that as human beings, we're always going to be waves, that we confess and come back to God, but that we're working to see ourselves draw closer and closer to Him. Let me pray for you this morning. Father God, we thank You for this Christian life. Father, it's not easy always. There's the world, the flesh, and the devil that conspire to draw us away from You. Father, we acknowledge that we're on this journey, that that we are these waves on the beach. And Father, we just pray that we would see our holiness increasing in our knowledge and our service of you, that we would see the tide coming in. And Father, we know that that's only because of you. Only as you come into our lives can you make that difference. Not just when we ask you to come in as Christians, but when we ask your Holy Spirit to come and lead us and guide us into all truth. So Father, we pray, continue to be at work in our lives, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.